This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
You are all ministers, servants of Jesus Christ. You have been given a ministry that only you can fulfill. Now, what makes you valid? What makes you authentic? What's your credentials? What gives you the right, we might say it that way, to operate in that office, to function in that kind of calling? It is the Word of God.
We each have a sphere of influence that only we can reach. Maybe it's your coworkers, your neighbor, or your mother-in-law. Whoever it is, you have a responsibility given to you by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Pastor Bo reminds us today that the power is in the Word. You don't need a seminary degree or decades of experience living the Christian life. You have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You're a new creation in Christ. Now, go plant the seeds, and God will grow the harvest.
Every time someone becomes saved, born again of the Spirit, there is a hard wire that is in the middle of that conversion. There's a hard wire running in there. And I'll tell you what it is. It's one two-letter word, and it's the word go. Go. Yes, we become saved and born again because we had a sin issue and we needed a Savior. Yes, yes, yes. We needed the blessedness and the promise of heaven and eternal life. And there's all of the blessing, the richness that it is to be a Christian. We go to the Word of God. We could have 1,000 of them we could list off. But understand, all right inside of there is a very strong, pulsating, two-letter word. Go. Constantly, 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 the life of Christ in the life of the Christian, and therefore the church, his church, the true church that aligns itself under his lordship, is a going church. It's a going church. It's a missional church. It just always has a go edge to it, if I could say it that way. It's always teaching. It's always equipping. It's always raising up those who are within and discipling and all that. But there is this constant edge on it that's going, going, going. When you drive around here, are you going? When you meet people around here, are you going? I hope that makes sense to you the way I'm just trying to say it. Like, as you see people, as you drive around here, do you see that and just go, what would it look like to go there? What would it look like to apply the go, the gospel go of the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20 into there? What would that look like? So today, I think God wants to do the same that we're learning from Paul here, to proclaim the word of the Lord in the hearing of this area's local residents. Not our own ideas. Please, church, did you hear me on that? Not our own ideas. Nobody needs my ideas. Not our own philosophies. A lot of times when Christians are talking, oh man, no offense, but it's just like, man, we overcomplicate reaching people. Disciples of Jesus make disciples of Jesus by sharing the word of the Lord. By sharing the word of the Lord, the scriptures themselves, the actual words of the biblical text. Share that and just let that be. Give people a chance to hear that and respond to that. Favorite verse of mine, Galatians 2:20. Is for me, when I'm with someone, it's kind of my go-to. It's got everything in it. So does some others. But what I'm trying to give you vision for is what it looks like to just share the word without your own ideas or your own philosophies. I'll say something like to somebody at Publix, well, I understand what you're saying, but a truth that has changed me is when Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. And I'll just say that. Now, yes, I've spent my whole life but studying all this kind of stuff. Set that aside. We're Christians. We're Christians. We are regular people who have been radically changed. So it's very natural to share that. but use the scriptures. Be okay with relinquishing control and having to be some amazing evangelist or something. Put your trust in the Bible and just share what the Bible says with people and give them a chance to hear it. What that will do, of course, we can pray and believe that that's going to do a great thing in them, in their life. But what I'm trying to speak to today in this message is what that will do in a community, let's say, like ours, when many of us make that our practice. Now, I mean that. Please don't miss what I just said. I'm trying to help our church become more on mission, like you see Paul there. He is just regularly sharing the word of the Lord. So, I mean, by way of application, what do most of you talk about? What do most of you talk about with people? Now, I just want to sort of exhort you, sort of challenge you to bring up to the top of that list the scriptures that are ministering to you, the scriptures that you're already drawing strength from in your own life, because that's where there's a fire. You got to understand that's where there's a burn. You have something to say. It's very different when pastors have to say something or versus they have something to say. Okay? Very different. Well, it's the same for all of us as Christians. That's for all of us as Christians. It's not about I have to say something. No, it's do I have something to say? And a believer should always have, be ready in season and out of season, Paul said to Timothy, always have something to say from the word of God. Now, please don't write me any emails as far as I'm trying to put trips on you or any of this kind of thing. Or no, I'm talking about disciples of Jesus making disciples of Jesus. And the church for many, many years in our own generation has veered too far off of center on this because we just don't want to be biblical. We just want to let the culture tell us what to do. And that's not right. We've got to bring that back to center and be disciples who make disciples. And when we do that, we will have all the resources we need. Heaven opens up. We'll have all the power we need. We'll have everything that we need to do what Jesus has already told us to do in his word will open up to us. So people ask me all the time, when we get in a building, you know, this kind of thing. And I'm like, when you finally meet with her and disciple her, when you finally spend time with that person over there and raise them up in Christ, when I follow up with this new person, God's not looking to just give us buildings. Buildings and all that kind of stuff, they're all tools. God will make sure we have all the space we need when we are stewarding well his word first by making disciples. And none of us will be fixated in America. Well, everybody really around the world gets really fixated on structures and buildings. And we think that that's the church. Look around the room, guys. It's us. We are the church. We are the church. So the question is, when are we going to grow? The question is not when we get in a building. The question is when we would need it is the answer. And God would make sure that then we have what we need. He's provided this far to do this. He'll continue to do that. Number two, write this one down. Here's the second powerful effect of God's word that brings this awakening. It's confirmation. Confirmation. Acts 19, 11 through 12, God was doing, it says, extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Do you guys remember this from previous studies? So that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick and their diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them. I don't know if you've ever had to like show a second form of identification. Have you ever had to do that? I can't stand when I get hit with that. You know, like, look, I have my driver's license. Isn't that enough? You know, but something you're doing or something will require your driver's license and your water bill, you know, with your address on it. You know, and you're like, But that's what was going on here. God was working miracles through Paul because the people needed to be able to trust in Paul's message as one with authority, that he was authentic. And the extraordinary miracles that God did authenticated Paul in that way, authenticated him as a messenger of the gospel and could therefore be trusted. His message could be trusted. His gospel was potent. It had power. They could believe in it. They could rest in it. This is a picture, actually, of God's mercy to these people because they were very superstitious, very spiritual, very emotional, very experiential. These people were in Ephesus. And so this was a way for God to reach out to them by working these incredible miracles. And they were very incredible. They were very, the word that's even used there, extraordinary, very extraordinary miracles through Paul during this time. Today, I just want to say very clearly, very openly, we believe in miracles. We pray for miracles, but our ultimate trust is in Jesus Christ. So we pray for miracles. I think God can do the impossible. God is God. I'm not interested in boxing God in. I want God to be able to do whatever God wants to do, and I'm going to pray and believe that. When it comes to our trust, understand we're talking about our trust is in Jesus Christ. And our confirmation, when you think about this by way of application, so your authenticity, my authenticity, in other words, what makes us valid in the eyes of the world or what makes us trustworthy as New Testament ministers? You're a minister. Did you hear what I said? You are a minister. According to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, chapter 4, you are a minister. All of us are as Christians. We have callings and gifts that have been given to us by the Spirit, and we are meant to use those to serve. That's what a minister is, to serve Jesus Christ in his church. It's not the pastor's job only to minister. You are all ministers, servants of Jesus Christ. You have been given a ministry that only you can fulfill. Now, what makes you valid? What makes you authentic? What's your credentials? What gives you the right, we might say it that way, to operate in that office, to function in that kind of calling? It is the Word of God. The Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is a completed canon of Scripture. It comes to us full, complete, all the power, everything there in the Word, and you and I are meant to base now our ministry on the Scriptures themselves, the Word of God. So our proclamation is the Word. So the Word then we could say is confirmed. That canon, like I mentioned, is complete. The Word of God is now fully trustworthy, and it is what validates us, gives us the credentials we need, and serves as the basis of our authority to call others to obey its truth. So we're all under his authority. We're all under the Word of God. We're never on top of the Word of God. If I were to ever write a book, that's one of the things that's a thesis I have. I would love to do a book on that one day. Because there's a lot of this, a lot of on top of the Bible versus being underneath the Bible. And so we're underneath it, which gives us then the authority needed as New Testament ministers to declare to people what it says and call them to obey it. So you need to know that you don't have any credentials within yourself, nor do you need them per se. You have them here. The Word is here. The Word is, it's given to you. And we have it and we ought to share it. That's the command. That's what's been given to us. Okay, here's this third powerful effect that God's Word brings. Competition. Competition. Go ahead and write that down and let me explain what I mean by that. This is another effect of the Word of God in an area, in people. When the Word of God is being shared and it's being taught, watch what happens in Acts 19, verse 13. Some, it says, of these itinerant Jewish exorcists. So these are kind of these vagabond kind of gypsy kind of people. They would kind of just travel around and they were really into extreme spiritual things. They're not Christians. They're just like spiritual out there. I don't know how to say that. Exactly right. But they are itinerant and they have a Jewish kind of background, but they're exorcists. They undertook, so they like to go around and cast out evil spirits. So they're into supernatural stuff, power, energy, crystals, I don't know, all that kind of stuff. So they take upon themselves this action to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, they want to do that because they saw Paul's potent, extraordinary miracle power coming through his life and ministry to that area. And they wanted some of that. They wanted to get in on that. You dialed in with me still on something? Listen, because this is a very real thing that as the word of God is taught, shared, communicated, you can expect that there will be a spiritual competition that rises against it. Okay, now I want you to just start getting that in your mind and then watch this unfold. To invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, so they would find those people, possessed people, they would find those folks saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Hey, that's not going to work, is it? No, and it was these seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva who were doing this. Seven sons of this high priest, and we actually think that he wasn't even a real high priest. He just even took that title upon himself because he was into this, making himself be like this. But the evil spirit answered them. I don't know if they were ready for that day, right? But this is how real this is. The evil spirit answered them and said, quote, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize as an apostle, ambassador sent by the Lord, but who are you? Who are you? And Luke records in the book of Acts, the man in whom was the evil spirit that the seven sons of Sceva tried to exorcise actually leaped on them. You got one guy on how many others? Seven. And he mastered all of them. That's that demonic power manifested in the physical realm. It's very extreme, very powerful. Mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That demonic evil spirit through that man put a real kiboshin, you know, on these guys. This would be like, now I want to talk about the competitive part of it, okay? And I hope that's coming across clear to you guys when I talk about that. I'm just talking about between the word of God that's going out and the work that it's doing, the effect that it's doing in an area, the kingdom is expanding, there's light that's expanding into an area. And then there's this sort of competitive spirit from the enemy that starts rising against that. This would be like, if you want to think of an illustration, it'd be like if you had a successful, valid, trustworthy business, let's say, all right? Let's say you run a lawn care company or you have a medical practice of some kind, perhaps, and some guy or lady starts one in town too, just like yours, but they don't have a license to practice. They can't do business in the state of Florida legally. And they use your name of your true business to advance their false business. Competition, right? But this is spiritual competition. There were unconverted spiritual people out there. Listen, in our day today, there are these people, unconverted spiritual people who are out there who are searching for a form of power. And they are exploited and they are used by Satan to cause confusion, to try to attack, often through false teaching and through false practices, the real work of God's Holy Spirit in a community. I often see this as a good indicator that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord, the true message of salvation is being faithfully proclaimed from one heart to another heart in a community. And that is why the enemy will strike. That is why. And so then you'll see this like spiritual competition. I actually get eerily concerned when there is no spiritual competition. I get really worked up. Because I'm going to have to meet God one day, and that means I'm not stirring anything up down here. Now, I'm not trying to stir stuff up. I have gotten used to looking across the landscape of our ministry context, and if I don't have any issues going on with the enemy out there, Jesus said, be hot or be cold. If you get lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So it's just this like Lord, just keep me hot. You know, just keep us on mission. You know, we've only got one shot at this, one go at this. Life's going to be over quick. So let me make sure that, man, if the warfare is there and it's real, I don't want to miss the fight. Now, I'm not looking for a fight. I'm talking about spiritual conflict, just advancing the kingdom of God, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the earth. When we do that, we can expect the word of God, when it's powerfully working in people's lives, you can expect that there will be this competition that comes from the enemy. Sort of the good news is, if I could say it that way, is it often self-destructs. It comes, it really seems, Christians a lot of times get fearful, they start getting all worried about what's going on, and there's this conflict of some kind that's taking place. And listen, most of the time, those things end up self-destructing because they're false. They're not true. They don't have that foundation of the truth of Jesus Christ or of his word. So they're false forms, deception, all this, and they don't last. I can't tell you how many works of the enemy I've outlasted. Do you understand that? I hope that makes sense. And I know many of you could testify to the same thing. How many times things have happened, whether it's in church or in your life or whatever, in your own walk with the Lord, you've seen a work of the enemy and you've outlasted it. I can resonate with that. But spiritual warfare is real. We have no fear and we continue moving forward with the message when we see the enemy at work. We just keep moving forward with it. So true works of God, so churches, think ministries, think even you and I, individual Christians, we outlast those false and those deceptive works of the enemy all the time. And like I said, often seeing them self-destruct. So our competition then is with the enemy. It's not with what you might be seeing with your eyes. It's with what is invisible. Ephesians 6:12 says it this way by Paul, "For we do not wrestle against flesh. We do not wrestle against blood, but we wrestle against, our conflict is with rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness." So it's spiritual. Against, Paul says, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The spiritual forces of evil possibly refers to the most depraved abominations, including extreme sexual perversions, occultism, and Satan worship. That's what we think spiritual forces of evil, when it's manifested in here, takes form of. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Now, I want to encourage you guys with that right there. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Very concerning again when, as believers, we're not even really aware that we're in a battle. And so we don't even bother with the armor. We're not thinking about the enemy. That right there is an indicator that we've already been sort of sidelined, sort of deceived, sort of pulled on over here. And we're in this place of just non-effectiveness, which is a strategy of the enemy. Know that. I'm just trying to help believers see the power that is in the Word of God.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida, but we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind, and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.
Just as I am.